Hello and welcome back to Mr. Jeffrion's World History Podcast. In this episode, we will be discussing decolonization, the end of empire, and the rise of new nations. We will talk about independence in Asian and African countries, as well as the long-term struggles that went hand-in-hand with new freedom and self-government. Remember, if you have any questions, feel free to submit them to the Google Voice number 321-804-APWH, or if you don't want to ask the question out loud, just send an email to mrjeffrion@gmail.com. Let's begin. The largest country in Asia to be granted independence after World War II was India in 1947. However, while achieving long-sought independence, it was faced with more serious problems, conflicts between the native Hindu and Muslim populations. If you can remember going back to the Delhi Sultanate, conflicts between these two religions had been occurring for a pretty long time. Understandably, Muslims feared that the dominant Hindu population would have total control over the new independent country, and that they would have no say whatsoever. So when independence came in 1947, India divided into Muslim Pakistan and Hindu India. The split caused many to migrate to either region. Muslims who lived in India migrated to Pakistan, and Hindus who lived in Pakistan went back to India. Conflicts that arose from the confrontations between these feuding states over the years resulted in the deaths of many. After the two had split into two separate states, they continued to fight, of course, fighting over the region of Kashmir. And after much destruction, India won, and Kashmir was absorbed into the Hindu state. Not only did these two budding new nations differ in religious and cultural principles, but also when it came to government as well. Pakistan had allied with the United States, and while India accepted aid from both world superpowers, at this time the word superpowers being the United States and the Soviet Union, it later favored a different third path, or a policy of non-alignment. During the fighting between Pakistan and India, the man whom many credited as being the father of India, Mohandas K. Gandhi, had been assassinated by a Hindu extremist. India's path of non-alignment inspired other nations to do the same, and in 1955, 29 nations made up the Bandung Conference, and while these nations theoretically agreed to a policy of non-alignment, the conference lacked unity, and most of its members still sought aid from either the United States or the Soviet Union. While India faced its internal struggles after being granted its independence, a nearby Asian country was having its own divisive struggles, Vietnam. After Japan's invasion of Vietnam had ended French colonial rule, Ho Chi Minh declared Vietnamese independence. However, not very long afterwards, the French were determined to get back its lost colony. After winning back the South, French forces looked toward the North, but Ho Chi Minh and his followers conducted very successful guerrilla warfare, and with aid provided by Communist China, defeated the French. This in turn created a northern Vietnam state ruled by communism, while the South maintained a very unstable government. The United States decided to interfere, following its policy that it practiced throughout the entire Cold War, to contain communism. It was believed, according to domino theory, that if one nation fell to communism, others would soon follow, and the United States was determined to stop this. First, it supported a government led by the French, but then shifted its views to a Vietnamese government that still did not win much popularity with the Vietnamese people. During the 1960s, the Viet Cong, those who supported the Northern Communist government, they were communists who lived in the South, decided to attack the government of the South, who were still being backed by the United States. The fighting continued all the way into the 1970s. Very similar to the religious issues that plagued India, within the Middle East, Muslims were having conflicts with another religious group, the Jews. If you can remember what problems the Jewish people faced all throughout the Second World War, you can easily see why they might feel it necessary to leave Europe and move to a place that they felt God Himself had granted them, what is now known as Israel. This belief in Israel becoming a homeland for the migrated Jews is termed Zionism. Despite the Zionist movement being backed by the British and by the Balfour Declaration, Arabs did not share the point of view that Palestine could possibly belong to the Jews when they had lived there for centuries. The tremendous amount of fighting that occurred resulted in the United Nations involvement, which decided to divide Palestine, similar to the division of India, into two separate nations, Muslim Palestine and Jewish Israel. Many of the neighboring Arab nations backed Palestine, however, including one that thought to totally remove the nation of Israel altogether, Egypt. After Garnaal al-Nasser was declared prime minister, a strong supporter of pan-Arabism, meaning a belief in a central Arab identity, he sought to put the Suez Canal under the control of Egypt and not of Great Britain, who had control of it all that time. While most of the former Allied powers supported Great Britain, the U.S. endorsed Egypt, creating a division between the United States and the Western European powers. So now that we have covered the main movements and outcomes of independence in the Asian countries, let's discuss independence in the countries that were victims of the European scramble for Africa. One of the biggest African national moves for independence was in Algeria, who sought to overthrow the French imperial rulers, who had actually granted independence to all other African colonies except Algeria. Eventually, after a long, hard-fought war, Algeria was granted its independence in 1962, 2 years after the supposed Year of Africa, when many other African colonies gained their independence. The violent fights for independence that were occurring in Africa around this time were partly due to the revolutionary writer Frantz Fanon, who said that violence was a suitable weapon against colonial racism, and also the spread of the Negritude or Blackness movement that sought to eliminate European influence from Africa. Despite the wholehearted attempts at Africa being ruled by its native people, Europeans saw African countries as too economically and politically unstable, and also white settlers of Africa were against black independence. This was most notable in South Africa, where apartheid separated black South Africans from white South Africans. A man named Nelson Mandela believed South Africa could rise above the racial prejudices and form the African National Congress, which sought independence. He was imprisoned for his beliefs and eventually was released as he became South Africa's first black president. So while some countries struggled to gain independence, others struggled to find their place in the world. In China, Mao Zedong, the communist ruler of China, through policies that included land collectivization, caused an agricultural disaster and much famine. This plan, which Mao deemed the Great Leap Forward, turned out to be a giant step backward. After Mao passed, a new communist leader came to power, Deng Xiaoping. Xiaoping was more open to market reforms. However, when it came to the social aspects of communism, he was just as stern as Mao, and this gave rise to an organized student rebellion in Tiananmen Square, which was crushed by government forces. India, on the other hand, unlike most Asian countries that were following a pattern of authoritarian rule, became a democracy. Indira Gandhi, daughter of not Gandhi, but his close confidant, Nehru, became prime minister. While she may have helped stabilize India, she did end up losing lots of popularity within the population as she supported birth control, even to an extent as extreme as enforced sterilization. As you already know, birth and fertility is central to Hindu religion, so it is understandable why this was unpopular. She ended up being assassinated, not due to her enforcement of birth control or her forcing of sterilization, but because of her harsh treatment of the Sikhs, who happened to be the religion of one of her bodyguards who ended up being the one to kill her. As tensions increased between Muslims and Jews over the issue of Israel and Palestine, a revivalism of traditional Muslim theology arose, Islamism, the blending of the faith of Islam with political practices. Many events occurred due to the spread of this new form of Arab identity, including the Iranian Revolution. The Iranian Revolution occurred when the U.S.-sponsored government, the Shah, was overthrown by Ayatollah Khomeini. This led to a war not between Muslims and foreigners, but a war between Islam itself. When Iraq, ruled by Saddam Hussein and backed by the United States government, attacked Iran. A decade later, Iraq would fight their once backer, the United States, when they invaded Kuwait a decade later in the first Gulf War, Operation Desert Storm. That's all for this episode. Tune in next time. Until then, this has been Mr. Jeffrey On's World History Podcast.